This morning, our scripture text comes from Luke, from the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, and there was a woman named Martha, and she welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." May God bless the reading and hearing of this, his word. Amen. Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, it's an ancient text, but it's your words to us. So Lord, open us to the Holy Spirit. Help us to hear your word for our lives today. In a new way. Amen. Distractions. Does anybody ever have distractions in their life? Whoops, wait a minute. Let's see. 6 o'clock this morning, 6:20 something. Stephanie sent me a text message. And then, let's see, Facebook, I have 18 little things that I need to check on there. And, emails. And then there's this Gmail account plus the church account and distractions. Oh, wait a minute, I think my phone's going to ring. It's on silent. Hello? Okay, I can do that. Thanks. I don't know about you, but my life is full of distractions. Just yesterday, my daughter calls me and she says to me, "Mom, something's wrong with my car. I'm all the way in Coleraine." Now get this, she lives in northern Kentucky. She's taken a test that cost $400 on Tuesday, and she's working from 1 to 5 as a mandatory management position today, and then she picked up a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. Her test is on Tuesday. Oh, and did I mention? She only has 2 uniforms that she can wear now. And she needs to get uniforms. Oh, and by the way, Mom, I need to go to the grocery store. My car's not running. This man's jumping me in the parking lot. Pray, Mom, that my car starts. And I'm coming to your house. Okay. So I get on the phone and I call my brother who lives next door and say, "Help, Jennifer's coming and her car's not running right. I'm praying that she gets here okay." She gets there, and I said to her, "Back the car in on the side of the garage so in case we need to jump it, we can, and we can work on it." Distractions. Does anybody have distractions? Today I got here, and guess what? I talked to Fred Whittakin over the weekend, and he said, "I sent you an email." I went to go check on that email. My email was not working. Thank you, John. Thank you, John, for fixing that. Technical difficulties. Have you ever had any of those? It seems like it happens all the time. It is a distraction from the thing that I need to be doing. By the way, I did get your email, Fred. So I'm just kind of wondering, in our text today, what happens to us when we become distracted? When Jesus decided to drop in on Martha and Mary, what was Martha's first impulse? "I got to get some food ready. Jesus is here." It is an old tradition, and I do it, you do it, we all do it. When somebody drops by, don't we offer them some hospitality? "Are you thirsty? If you stay long enough at my house, you're going to eat." And I just wonder where that all began. For us, it begins in Genesis with Father Abraham, Genesis 18, verses 1 through 10. When 3 guests came, And Abraham welcomed them into the tent, into his home. And what happened? But Sarah started preparing for her guests. The same thing happens in Martha and Mary's story that happened in Abraham and Sarah's story. Sarah and Abraham worked together to show hospitality. And Martha expects her sister Mary to do the very same thing. After all, can't we relate to Martha? I know I can. Why isn't somebody helping me get something done? I heard it in my daughter's voice yesterday. Help, Mom! I hear it. Do you hear it? Do people ask you? I need some help. I need some help. I said it to John Wolfe this morning. I need some help. So it's interesting to note that the story follows immediately after Jesus' encounter with a lawyer who asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then it's sandwiched in between the Good Samaritan story. Some scholars believe that this passage relates and affirms that the conversation between Jesus and the lawyer shows us how to inherit eternal life. And here in this passage, Jesus alludes to what it means to love God. So he shows us in the example of the Good Samaritan what it means to love neighbor. But here he's saying, you know, this is what it means to love God. We come to an understanding, as Luke acknowledges in the book of Acts in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6, that both are necessary. Acts and works. In fact, Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, has postured herself as a disciple. Now, I don't know how much you know about Middle East culture, but in this day and time that the scripture text was written, women had no feet. They had no business being at the feet of a rabbi. They had no business there. That was for the men. They were the ones who studied. But guess what? All of a sudden, this cultural boundary that had been set is being done away with because Mary is finding herself at the feet of Jesus. Jesus waited until Martha spoke because she was so upset that she had to give word to what she was feeling. Ever been there? I have. She begins, "Lord." She turns to Jesus. "Lord, don't you care?" I don't know about you, but I've had some conversations with Jesus, and I've asked him, "What are you doing? Don't you care? Look at this. This is more than what I can handle." But then, showing that Mary wasn't the only one under scrutiny, she repeats it, and then she turns toward her sister, Mary, that "My sister has left me to do the serving by myself." As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't care. He didn't. He calls her name not once, but twice. "Martha. Martha." Now, I don't know about you, but when my mom called my first name and my middle name, I knew I better sit up and pay attention. Well, this is exactly what's going on right here. Jesus is getting Martha's attention. It's important to note that Jesus isn't concerned about her serving. What Jesus is concerned about is her worry and her distraction. Did you know that Jesus is concerned about your worry and your distraction? I don't know about you, but that makes me feel a little better. The real hospitality Jesus is looking for is if people are listening to God, listening to Jesus, and recognizing Jesus as the one who was sent, so that we can welcome in our own lives Jesus and follow him. Jesus is not going after the busy Martha. He's addressing the worried and distracted Martha. Jesus is speaking to his dear friend. And he wants her to be aware of all the things that are distracting her. So he gently refocuses Martha. Because here, hospitality is not primarily about food. Hospitality is about our focus. Luke's text seems to be weighing in on the priorities of our life, choosing the better part. So exactly how does Martha choose the better part? How do we make better choices given our circumstances? First, we need to recognize that Mary has chosen the good or the better part. And how did she do that? By connecting to God, by sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's the groundwork for effective action. The dichotomy of Mary in this story is understanding that God is both on the inside and the outside. He's on the in and he's on the out. He sustains us, but he also summons us to work. And through our service, we can bring about change in our world, in the justice and the mercy and in the peace that we bring. It's not an either or message, but it's a both and message. It's a balance in our lives. A few years ago, Tom Friedman had a column in the New York Times called "The Taxi Driver." He told of being driven from a cab from Charles de Gaulle Airport to Paris. It was a one-hour trip, and he and the driver had done six things. The driver had driven the cab, talked on his cell phone, and watched a video which unnerved him to no end. Whereas Tom, he had been riding in the cab, working on a column on his laptop, and listening to his iPod. There was only one thing that they never did. They never spoke to each other. Friedman went on to quote Linda Stone, who is a technologist, who had written that the disease of the internet age is a continuous and partial attention on our part. Perhaps it's not only the disease of the internet age, perhaps it has always been part of us. And it causes our inattentiveness when we are distracted. When anxiety and well-doing becomes the measure of our hospitality, when the church has forgotten the one in whom we have gathered to serve, when Christ is proclaimed as instrumental, it is then that the programs of the church and then the community is called into being through God's word. It seems possible that the story of these two sisters offers us an ongoing plea for the Lord to focus, to give him some prime time, some important continuous time. At least this is what we do if we want to remain close to our family and friends. We give them some prime time, don't we? The same Lord calls us to focus on him when we gather on Sunday and we move from our place of being in our own secure places. He calls us from our worried and distracted places to be in touch with the one thing that is needed, the good part that will never be taken away. You know, humility is only conceivable when in word and sacrament the kingdom of God draws near. I don't know about you, but when Mary and Martha finally sat down to eat this meal together, did they see Jesus in the breaking of the bread? Do you and I see Jesus in the breaking of the bread, even if it's a donut? If it's Doritos, but even in a full meal with five courses, Jesus is the host through the humility of being present even when we are worried and distracted. Friends, if we don't choose, if we don't make the best choice, like Mary, listening to God, studying God's word, being in prayer for one another and for ourselves, we've missed the mark. Our lives will be consumed, just like Martha's, with worries and distractions and things that pull us away from our calling to sit at the feet of Jesus. So what is the best choice for you and for me? I think that the health and well-being of our souls and our relationship to God and to others depends on the choices that we make. Choosing the better part, making the best choices. May today be your best choice, and in the days to come, amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into your house, we come into your presence. And as we go forth, help us to share your love for and with everyone we meet, even in the midst of our distractions and worriedness. Amen.